I'll tell you what, you are listening to the Bob Culture Podcast. I'll tell you what, this is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and you are listening to my man Rob. Don't you go away. Turn to the spice.
Edition of the Bob Culture Podcast. Right now you're listening to music from It Lives, It Breathes up there over from New England. They have their cover of Metalingus, of course, Edge's theme from WWE. Check out their cover. They're on iTunes. They're on Spotify. Guys, as always, thanks for letting me use your tunage. And I am stoked right now to talk about what looks like a good pay-per-view on paper, the TLC pay-per-view. Of course, I am joined from the popbreak.com, the anti-smark himself, the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Matthew Wittes. Matt, how are you, bro?
Hey, yo, bad guys everywhere.
That's right. And making his debut on the Bob Culture Podcast from the Podcast Dummies Network, one and only Mr. Chris DeMarco.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited. A huge fan.
Yeah,
obviously, dude. Through Trev at Podcast Dummies. And I'm excited to give some pretty terrible predictions here.
No, man. Yeah. No, you're in, man. You never know. People have had some good debuts.
The only thing that's for sure is that nothing's for certain.
That's right. Hey, man.
I'm shocked. You are right. I'm shocked at the card that usually it's like that kind of December-y, kind of gets lull and lazy.
True.
With the story writing, but it seems like it's actually kind of promising, at least some of the card.
Yeah.
Some of it's mediocre, but some of it's got good implications here.
For sure. And we'll see what happens. Real quick before we get into the matches, Chris, well, what do we want to do on Twitch for people following us on Twitch? They want to hit that heart right now?
Yes, please. Twitch.tv/podcastdummies. And then, of course, hit the little heart. Obviously, if you want to subscribe, that's the way to do it. Feel free to badger us on social media at Podcast Dummies. Bob Culture, I know you guys are on...
we're all over the place. The Bob Culture Podcast, Facebook, at Bob Culture Pod on Twitter, all that good stuff.
Yeah, feel free to badger us in the chat, on Twitter, whatever you want to do.
Oh, we got a chat this time.
We have a chat. We are live.
Weigh in. Yeah, tell us if you think we're way off.
We most likely are.
Yeah, well, you never know. All right, guys, you guys ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Ready to go.
All right, we are gentlemen here on the Bob Culture Pod. Well, I like to think so. On the Bob Culture, I use that term, yeah, loosely.
Challenge.
But we as always, we're going to go ladies first. Now, for a match that I think that should be last on the card, we're getting right into it.
Oh.
We're talking about the man, Becky Lynch, current SmackDown Women's Champion, who I was hanging out with last Friday. That's another story.
I saw the picture.
Oh,
I was pretty jealous.
Class act. We'll get into that a little bit.
Yeah.
Versus Charlotte Flair. I'm not going to woo right now. Versus Asuka in a TLC match. I think it's going to be a show stealer. I think this match should go last. I could go on and on about it. Let's throw it over to Matt. Matt, what do you think about this match? Where do you think it should be on the card? And who? I mean, this is a tough one. Who do we're getting ready? Right, who's going to win?
I would be surprised if this is not the last on the card. I know a lot of the posters is Seth and Dean.
True.
At the top.
True.
This is a big head scratcher all the way around. I could see anybody winning. I could see anybody being the one to take the fall. This is the one that figures out who we're going to see at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Correct. I have to agree with that. I think so the problem with it kills me to say this because everyone's like, I'm sure you guys are NXT people as well.
I love NXT.
Yeah, that's like it's almost more than the main roster, which like it's like almost like two nonconformists that's become its own conformist hipster.
Yeah, I get it. And it's like the cool one to
NXT's
like.
NXT's become the cooler one to like now.
Yeah.
It kills me because of how Asuka was built on that. I feel like she's just there to eat a pin. And it kills me to say that. I feel like she's just there to eat a pin. And I feel, unfortunately, that Lynch is going to drop the belt. Now, the benefit to that is I think they're going to give her like the Stone Cold-esque run that everyone's been clamoring for online. And I think she wins the Royal Rumble. And I think that's when she gets to the main event still for that title. So I don't think she's out of the title picture. Obviously, on the women's side for Raw, we'll get to later. I think Rousey's obviously still going to be a big part of it. And we'll get to that. But I can't see Lynch not being this main event. She's white hot right now.
Dude, I have to piggyback off that. Yeah. I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
I don't know if Asuka's gonna. I think Asuka might actually win it, but
yeah.
I think you're right. I think Becky's gonna lose the belt, and I'm sitting here thinking, why would you have Becky lose the belt right now? That makes no sense. Unless, like as you said, she's gonna win the Royal Rumble. It writes itself.
Yeah.
How's she gonna face Ronda again? Win the Royal Rumble?
Exactly.
that's, she wants that match personally. She can, you know, kind of have that little fall and have that huge climb. I said to Becky when I met her, you know, you get a few, you know, class act, get a few minutes with her. I said to her, I said, you know, thanks for coming to New Jersey. Thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. And then when I left, I said, and we'll see you back in New Jersey when you're headlining WrestleMania. And she said, yes, she said, yes, I will.
She's really killing, like, on, even on, like, social media. She plays Savage. The part perfectly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In person, though, class act. Like, great with the kids, you know, the special. See, yeah. Oh, just fantastic.
And I think you're right, because that's the beauty of the triple threat match, is that.
Correct, yeah.
You can lose and still be protected in the loss.
Yeah.
And keep your star shining.
Exactly. And then there's that whole other factor. We're kind of sneaking this in little by little, but we've always, that rumor of the four horsewomen versus the four horsewomen of MMA.
Yeah.
You know, we, if Asuka wins, which a lot of fans have been clamoring for as well, just a lot of these storylines write themselves.
It frees them up entirely.
It frees them up to fight each other, or, you know, somehow get this four horsewomen thing going. Now that's, you know, it seemed to escalate on NXT and everything else. So it's very interesting. Matt, who do you think is going to be the champion at the end of this match, though?
I think they're going to put on Charlotte.
You think Charlotte? I almost went that way, too. And go ahead.
I think, like you're saying, it makes sense that they can move Becky wherever they want. They can, you know what, they want Becky versus Ronda. Very soon, shows are going to be on different networks. Was it here or 2 years
from now? Something like that, yeah.
Which is a long ways off, but if they can have the biggest name on the card and biggest talk of the industry on the card, Royal Rumble, that's...
Yeah.
It's amazing how, you want to talk about, like, the women really getting the equality in the past year or so, or at least moving in the direction. It's amazing that, like, you know it's happening when Vince has his handpicked child in Charlotte Flair. He's like, she's become the Roman Reigns that everyone hated. And that's why I think she's getting the title. She's going to get it, and then she can carry the feud on the mic through, like, the lull of the holidays, and then right into Royal Rumble season. I think that she'll be fine. They'll probably give her a throwaway rivalry, maybe against Asuka, while Lynch, you know, tends to something else, just to hold over to that WrestleMania moment.
This guy's crushing it. Came out fire.
It's more like my fantasy bookings than like what I think is going to happen.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, completely. I was just thinking, and I like what you're saying about Charlotte, but I was just thinking, Asuka, if she did win the title in this case, maybe she doesn't go into the Royal Rumble match, and that might be another reason, you know, her being the previous winner from last year. Yeah. Not that that means anything. Just another thought. Again, there's so many ways you can go. Even if Becky wins, you know, it's a home run, obviously. Like I said, it's stupid for her to drop the title right now, but it makes so much sense for her to win the Royal Rumble. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves. It totally does.
Yeah, I mean, one thing for sure I can't see is them doing the first two women's Royal Rumbles and Asuka winning both. Like, yeah, I can't see that, especially with, you know, frankly, you need these big core four pay-per-views, the Survivor Series, the Royal Rumbles, the WrestleManias. You need someone who can carry on the mic for the casual fan. And unfortunately, Asuka and like the Nakamuras of the world, they can't do that right now. So I can't see her winning two Royal Rumbles back-to-back. That was a shock for me that Nakamura and Asuka won. It was awesome, but I was very surprised that it happened.
Yeah, we had, you know, last year on our Royal Rumble predictions, our buddy Chris Nunes and Mike both had perfect predictions for the Royal Rumble.
Really?
Yeah, even, you know, and that's a hard one to predict because you got 30 people.
But I would never have got, I guess.
They got it. It was crazy. So what do we have here? I'm going Asuka. You're going Charlotte. Chris, who?
I'm going to go Flair. I think
Flair.
A Flairian way she gets the win.
Another reason, a good, you know, towards your guys' merit, to your point, her getting those title numbers closer to 16. What, she got eight right now?
Already at eight. Yeah.
You know, there's just one more for her. So, and again, to your point, Matt, it being a triple threat, it's interesting.
Yeah, I think there's a really Ric Flair way of getting in and stealing the win, probably.
Yeah.
I can see that.
All right, moving on. Now, Matt reminded me of this one. I forgot to write it down, but if you guys have been watching the Mixed Match Challenge, there is actually a match. I don't know if it's going to be on the kickoff show or not. Carmella, the Fabulous Truth, Carmella and R-Truth, help me out here, versus Jinder Mahal.
Mahalisha?
Yes. And
I hate that.
Oh, it's terrible.
A lot. We were saying a lot of the Mitch match. Bless you. Sorry. A lot of the mixed match challenge teams have been suffering from injuries, and we're like, you know, shuffling everybody. But in this case, this year the winner gets the 30th spot in each respective men and women's Royal Rumble. So I think some fans aren't like, you shouldn't affect the Royal Rumble or anything from that. I think it's interesting. Why not? I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I think it's cool. So I guess real quick, who do you see winning the Mixed Match Challenge? And also, I guess more so, who do you see getting the 30th spot in the Rumbles? Is it Mella and Truth coming in? I'm going to let Matt start this off because he had an interesting theory. Go ahead.
First off, because they're popular enough to get their own talk segment at one point and this dance break, everybody seems to like it at the live shows. Fabulous Truth. It also lends plenty, you know, Carmella could be considered a legitimate contender for that 30 spot. And she's already a Money in the Bank winner. They've run with her before as a champ. And again, the comedic possibilities of she comes out, everybody's worn down, she starts the dance break. R-Truth comes out at like number 24 instead of 30. I'm here, number 30.
Yes. I can definitely see
that. You're not so number 30. Perfect.
I love that.
My bad. Everybody be good.
I can definitely see it. Yeah, I think we could probably all agree that no matter what team wins, number 30 is not winning either Rumble this year. Yeah. Maybe the women's one, if Mella's there. I just can't see Jinder Mahal, R-Truth, or Alicia Fox winning anything substantial in a Royal Rumble. Yeah. I can't see that happening. I like the Truth and Mella, the comedic aspect of it. I don't, Jinder and Fox would just be raining with booze to end up each run. Because like, there's normally like a surprise aspect of it. Now you're taking that away from the 30th.
True.
So
true.
You might as well make it someone that the crowd's at least going to smile and like give like a head nod to. That's why I think it's probably got to, it's got to be R-Truth and Carmella. People hate Jinder Mahal when he had that title run like a year ago. That was very upsetting to the whole IWC.
And for the last, 5-6 years, number 30 has always gotten booed because everybody thinks it's going to be
Daniel Bryan.
It's going to be Daniel Bryan or CM Punk or somebody, and never is. It's not going to be that.
Like, first of all, I thought yours is probably going to happen now that I heard it out loud. Yeah. Like, him coming out, like, number 20 or something. Like, I could see him coming out to, like, the wrong music or something. In past years, I thought it would have been perfect, and I wish they had done it. That The Miz came out, but to Daniel Bryan's music, because he was always playing up Daniel Bryan's stuff. And then at the time, he didn't come out of retirement. I thought that would have been great, but this is a good consolation, like a comedic consolation prize.
Yeah, it seems like we're all excited about it, too.
Yeah.
You guys, I was going to go the other way, but you guys totally convinced me. I love Matt's like idea. I'm going to go with you guys. I'm going to hop on the, I'm going to go with the R-Truth and Carmella train here, the Fabulous Truth. I just love the dance break. It just makes more sense. Like, you get that comedy part of the Royal Rumble.
I can see him trading for number one. Number one's better than number third, like something.
Yeah, just so the only way, the reason I was going to go Jinder is, of course, for the boo. And coming in and scaring us that Jinder might win the Rumble.
Yeah.
But I like what you guys are saying. I'm on board. All right. Very good stuff.
Keep score.
Now, let's go for a chair match, of course, with my favorite of all time. The reason I started watching wrestling, Rey Mysterio versus Randy Orton. Matt had a great column on the Pop Break reviewing SmackDown. And I forget what you had said exactly about how it showed that the legends are still very, very relevant.
Oh, yeah.
And this one is tough. I feel like it could go either way. We've seen Mysterio pin Orton not too long ago pretty easily. And then Orton's just having like this huge super heel, not quite legend killer, but kind of like killing all your favorite SmackDown underdogs, which there's plenty of on SmackDown Live right now, which is probably part of the reason they turned Daniel Bryan. I digress. But just him ripping off his mask and disrespecting the heritage and stuff like that. So I feel like it could go either way. Let's start with Chris on this one. Any strong feelings on this one?
Most people, like, again, I'll go back to like they hate like the Roman Reigns being booked as strongly as he is. I think and I love Triple H. I like love what he did with NXT and everything, but I feel like he protects his guys, and like Orton, Batista, and Flair, those are his crew, and I just don't see him having Orton lose to Rey again. He lost in a pretty upsetting, quick fashion, and that led to the beatdown. But he seems to just be going on like a legend-killing tear, and I feel like it's slowly upgrading as he goes on. He beat up, you know, Ty Dillinger was like low rung, Jeff Hardy was obviously a little bit higher. Now it's up to Rey Mysterio, who's like a little more of like a legend, surefire Hall of Famer. So I feel like it's gonna keep boiling up until probably like a WrestleMania season where it's someone who comes, you know, once every year or so. So I got to give it to Orton on this one. I'm not happy about that, but I give it to Orton.
I'm just going to straight up completely agree with you, man.
Yeah.
They're building this huge heel thing for Orton. Not that he even needs it. Of course. He may even do something super deplorable to Ray. I mean, come to think of it, he's already unmasked, though. He's unmasked and ripped off his mask. He put a chair into his throat.
He's put a screwdriver through Jeff Hardy's ear.
I think they go with that. They'll get the next crazy, deplorable, vicious
thing. And don't forget the worst thing of all. He broke Ty Dillinger's fingers. He will not be able to count that high anymore.
I don't think I've seen him on TV since, actually.
No, he's been gone.
You got Matt.
I was actually leaning towards Ray. I could see Ray and Randy gets the comeuppance, and then immediately after, he just stomps the hell out of Ray.
Yeah.
So he still comes off as, you know, the dangerous, the viper, that the predator.
Makes a lot of sense.
But I'm starting to think like you guys, that they're building Randy for, like, you know, one more big one.
Yeah.
Like, is he the guy that...
You forget he's up there, compared to his buddies. He's getting up there in age as well. But you almost turned me with the whole, like, that's how they save his character. If he loses, he just beats the hell out of the guy immediately after.
That makes perfect sense too, man.
Yeah. Either way, I think he comes out of it looking strong. That's what I think we're pretty much unanimous on.
Yeah, it's basically, you beat me for 3 seconds, I'm going to beat on you for the next 3 weeks.
Exactly.
I hate picking against my guys, too, man. Yeah. I feel like I hate not picking Becky. And we always pick Becky on the podcast. Always. But I think, you know, we're just thinking ahead for the Royal Rumble. So you're on the record going Orton or Ray?
I'm going to go with Ray.
Like it. Change it up. Good, man. All right. Awesome.
Orton's in a Ray.
You guys are killing it. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I was, going over the match card and reading everything going on. It's Elias versus Bobby Lashley, correct?
Yes.
In a ladder match?
It's a guitar on a pole match.
Yeah, did I read that correctly?
They really didn't mention that.
That's what I thought. No, I'm like, did I miss something?
There's not a great build. I mean, they have been going back and forth, but as far as building the match...
I had no idea it was a ladder guitar match.
The Jeff Jarrett special going on there. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
That's why I was like, I'm like, did I read this wrong? But because I watched every episode of everything. But yeah, okay, that'll be fun. That'll be interesting.
Good gimmick.
I'm just gonna go with the guitar. First ever guitar over the ring, Matt, or has that been done with Jeff Jarrett?
Like a hockey tonk man or something.
So if I was gonna say, if it is with the first in a ladder hanging, like maybe they did on a pole or something. Who knows? But if that is kind of the first of its kind, I guess we'll have to find out. I'm just going to straight up go Elias on this one. Let him have it. Lashley's just being a heel and not really doing anything for me. And that's all I got. I was excited to see Leo Rush fight the other night. That's
205 guy.
Good up and coming talent. But yeah, I'll go Elias. Chris, what do you got on this one?
This is like a really tepid, like, this rivalry all the way through. Like, perfect examples. We didn't even know the stipulation until we Googled it earlier today.
Exactly.
I think the Leo Rush aspect of it makes me go Lashley. Like, I think Elias is loved so much by fans right now, which was pretty organic because he came as a heel. I think it's safe that you have Elias lose. Because if Lashley loses, you kind of lose credibility there. Elias loses. He's a heel. I mean, he's a face. People still love Elias. Mm. So I got to give it to Lashley with the assist to Leo Rush.
Nice. Yeah. Little Leo Rush factor. Okay.
I'm actually going the opposite way. I see Leo Rush inadvertently costing Lashley in the match and getting thrown into the fourth row as a result.
I'd love to see
that. They're finally getting to the point where it looks like they're going to pull the trigger on Elias a little bit. And Bobby Lashley, as good as he is since he came back from Impact, he's kind of just been kind of there.
Yeah.
He's been a utility player, good soldier and all, but it doesn't seem like he's looking for one last big run, or at least they're not looking to get it out of him.
Yeah, look at it. Yeah, like, I'm looking through, like, even the lineup of the card here. Like, really, who are the big heels on Raw now? You have Ambrose and Corbin? Is that really your best next guy?
We have a Corbin guy right here.
Are you a Constable guy? Yeah. I liked him. I loved the Lone Wolf NXT thing.
That's where I he got me.
Yeah. We have another Corbin guy. Finally.
I know, we're a rare breed. The corporate Kane shtick that they're putting him into is it sucks. But, I mean, what are you going to do?
He looked like the bully from an 80s high school movie.
Yeah.
But and that worked. It was
But, like,
great.
That's the thing. Like, he's so... Or, like, it's so hard with how involved people are online. Like, if we love you as a heel, like a Kevin Owens, like, Dale must kind of become a face. Like, he is truly hated, and that's why he's a good heel. You forget that, like, oh, wait, I'm supposed to hate this guy. He elicits that pretty naturally, which is why I kind of like
If you watch Breaking Ground, it's like, this guy's just genuinely unlikable.
Yeah, he's just a bad person. He was bad in his football career, his fighting career. He's just a bad person.
Let's segue to that match right now. Yeah. Let's go Corbin Braun. Real quick, I mean, do you guys think that Corbin is going to... Well, because there's a stipulation on this match.
Yes.
If he wins, he gets that permanent spot. Oh, man, this is tricky. And then if Braun defeats him, what was the stipulation? I guess he just doesn't.
If Braun wins, I think he gets the title shot with Lesnar, right? Is that it?
That's what I'm thinking. It's so far back because Braun hasn't been on TV, but I believe he might. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that. You might be right. I'm sitting here thinking that might be the case. Yeah, I think they did have a confrontation before Braun had gotten injured.
I
think that's the case.
If Strowman wins, he gets a Universal Championship match at Royal Rumble. And Corbin is stripped of all authoritative power. If Corbin wins, he becomes permanent GM of Raw.
Dude, I like this guy. Great debut. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Google.
Really, really good. Just like that, ready to go. I was going to pick Corbin in this one, just kind of throw everyone off, but I think they're going to make a move towards someone else being the general manager. I think it makes sense for Braun not to be in the Royal Rumble. Because he's just a heavy, heavy favorite.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with just like Braun, just vengeance, short and sweet. Put him through a couple announce tables, and that's that. I'll go Braun, no more Corbin general manager. Unless you guys think they're going to build on the heat of Corbin, or what do you think?
This is a tough call, because, I mean, they've got another 5-foot general manager waiting in the wings right now.
I think I know who you
are. Yeah. She's already part of the show in that capacity. Apparently, she's taken quite a few dingers over the past few years, and she may be scaling back on the ring work. And that would be a great spot for her. She's people are old like me, Alexandra York 2.0.
Wasn't this age of girl power? You know, we're all about it, of course.
It's like almost like the AJ Lee ran SmackDown or Raw for a little while there.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't see. Again, I'm one of those rare Baron Corbin fans that, like, if you don't like the big man style, fine, but he does the big man style fairly well. Yeah. He reminds me of the Big Boss Man. He's a great mid-card heel.
Yeah.
You know, he moves pretty good in there, great natural athlete. But if you have the big man versus the big man, the bigger of the big man is the one that's supposed to go over.
Physics.
I'm trying to remember. The elbow injury, is that legit?
I think he had an arm thing. I don't know if it's
maybe
elbow.
It's a bone chips removed or something like that.
He had a procedure.
He definitely got a real surgery. They were posting it all over.
Have him back for Royal Rumble, though. I'm going with Braun on this one because I don't see them advertising a TLC match with Braun Strowman and then... No, yeah, he's legit going to forfeit. I don't see that happening.
Yeah. What do you got for this one, Chris?
This one's tough. I'm gonna to be the contrarian here, I'll go with Corbin just because he's gonna kill the slime ball aspect of it. But what's killing me is exactly what you said, Bob, the having him in the Rumble, like how do you have him lose? Because he's such a monster, he's been built up so incredibly large.
Won the greatest Royal Rumble that one time.
Yeah, he won the greatest Royal Rumble.
But
then you think about it and he's lost to Lesnar substantially a lot. So like I could see Corbin slipping out of this. I think he does show up because he's advertised too. But I think Corbin sneaks through this somehow. But I love the contingency plan of having Alexa Bliss take over full time.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
For sure.
They have been building that and right under our noses. I didn't even pick up on
that. And she could return the favor and reinstate him into some sort of capacity. He'd be back as constable rather than GM.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Because, I mean... There's always a way for him to still, like, if Strowman loses, there's always a way for him to still get in that title shot at one of the major coming up pay-per-views.
Good stuff, guys.
I hate that I'm going with Corbin, but I'm doing it.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, all right.
All right, let's go Natalya versus Ruby Riott in a tables match. Very interesting build in this one. I was kind of mad at them. Yeah, I was kind of mad at them benching Natalya here and there, like on Raw and pay-per-views and stuff like that. You know, we kind of thought inevitably she was going to turn on Ronda at some point.
Yeah.
Obviously, real life things happened, and it wasn't really the timing for that.
Yeah.
But also, she's been just getting killed on TV, disrespected.
I know. Like,
I'm hoping she signed off. My guess is she signed off on some of this stuff, maybe in a way to, at the end of the day, honor her father and
wrestling is wrestling.
Exactly. Yeah, you get
like,
that thought.
Like, damn, you creative writers are cold blooded.
Yeah,
they brought it at a table with her dead father. I was like, Jesus Christ, there's no limit.
That was 360 degrees of cringe fest.
That's attitude.
Yeah,
that was like
that was like, oh.
Yeah, you're like I'm a grown man and I'm uncomfortable watching this. That I was like, damn, that's uncomfortable.
It's like even Ruby Riott's got to be out there being a little bit uncomfortable. Like, I mean, she killed it.
Joe, you want me to bring out what?
Yeah. But Natalya dedicated the match to her father.
Yeah.
What else did they have? Something with her, the glasses being broken.
That's how it started. It was like, for the very beginning, it's like, they kind of beaten us over the head with this already before they even started the angle.
Based purely on all of this nonsense and disrespect and some may say in bad taste. WWE, you know. I'm just going to go Natalya. Hopefully they write this wrong and she dedicated this match to her father. And hopefully it's a nice moment for her, a nice win. Otherwise, the other direction I see is, are we just trying to make Natalya kind of break character-wise, you know, make her break and kind of lose it, which we kind of have a lot of going on right now. So I'm just going to go with Natalya and dedicate the match to her father. Big win. Nice moment for her. Chris, what do you got?
I'm going to go with the answer I hate, and I think Ruby Riott takes. I think they're just, you know, Natalya's she's a veteran. Her whole family's obviously dedicated to the business. And I think for that reason, you know, she knows she's on the end of her career, and she's going to put over the young talent. And I think this is one hell of a way to get nuclear heat for someone who's, you know, like Ruby Riott's, again, she's an organic heel. She's not like the Liv Morgans or the Alexa Bliss who are like, you know, this image of like a beauty queen who's just, you know, like a brat. I think she's got the look of a heel. She got the attitude of a heel. She's obviously being written to be one, and I think this is gonna help propel that. You're just dumping all over a surefire Hall of Famer in the Anvil. So I go Ruby Riott again reluctantly. But I'm looking at the list. I want a lot of heels here so far.
This is like very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
a lot of heels here, but I go Ruby Riott. All right,
go ahead, Matt.
All right, I'm gonna go with Natalya, for no other reason but like, yeah, they've just been heaping it on. Something's got to slide off at this point. do you know what? Again, not to be negative, but those of us who've been watching, it seems like Ruby Riott out of that group is here, and then Liv and Sarah are kind of here, and they're not catching up all that. They're not gaining quickly, at least.
Yeah, they're definitely more like the Miztourage to the Miz there.
Yeah, if they want to break this up and get, you know, three acts out of one act, this could be it. It's like the where the hell were you guys when you were supposed to cover me?
I could see that. Yeah, then I mean, I hope you guys are right for that one.
Yeah,
I want to tell you one because it's like, again, like anytime you can get so organically, like, oh, this is so uncomfortable. Like, like the girl's dad died like a month ago, it feels like, and they're just
never let a crisis go to waste.
Yeah. My God.
I mean,
I have seen it over and over again in so many places.
They've really done it.
Let's move on from this. We'll see what happens. Let's talk a little bit about 205 Live, the Cruiserweight division, the Cruiserweight title. Mr. Alexa Bliss, Buddy Murphy, versus Cedric Alexander. Cedric Alexander finally getting that shot back at his, you know, Cruiserweight title. I'm just going to keep it short and sweet. I just think Buddy Murphy's going to continue this run. He's got a little bit more size on everyone. He's got a good thing going. I had the big home country win. Continent?
Both.
All of the above.
Subcontinent?
It's both.
So I'm just going to stick with Buddy Murphy on this one. Matt, what do you got on Cruiserweights?
Yeah, I'm going with Buddy too. Cedric is another guy who's 2:05, you know, first thing in the morning after skipping dinner, like Buddy is.
Yeah.
But they, I mean, one of the biggest things I took away, I believe, was from Survivor Series when they had their match, Buddy Murphy and Mustafa Ali, was it?
Yes.
Went out there and got no reaction when they came out from the back, and halfway through the match, the whole place is chanting 205, 205.
Yeah.
This is something people have been waiting to see. They want to see the good cruiserweight action, and they're letting them open it up. It's not the Lucha House Party.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the three-on-three, do-it-the-Raw style when you're on Raw, like we got when they were the exclusive property of Raw and they changed the ring ropes.
Yep.
You know, when they first came over.
That was such a tragedy, wasn't it?
they turn up the gas, and I think Buddy Murphy's going to hold on to it because he's been doing the job so far.
I like it.
I'm going to make it a hat trick. You took a lot of exactly what I was saying. Like, I was one of the people that don't pay attention to 205 as much as I do, like, the UK or the NXTs or the other network stuff. But, again, that Survivor Series match, it was like, who the hell are these guys? And, you know, you knew Buddy Murphy from being Mr. Alexa Bliss. Obviously, you knew Cedric Alexander. He had probably one of the more main roster exposure when 205 was on there. But I got to give it to Buddy Murphy. I think he's been carrying 205 along with Ali, probably, in a way that Neville kind of did before he left. So I think they are smart to keep it with someone who caught so many people's eye. And now, obviously, Ali just did that on, what was it, Monday, Tuesday night?
SmackDown,
against Daniel Bryan. So it's like, all right, you got, you know, the people you're giving us the exposure to are working, so just keep on those guys and then slowly lead the rest in. Get rid of Lucha House Party, perfect example. That's such a tragedy. I love the revival. They kill me.
Yeah.
I just want to rip my eyes out when I see that every week. What a disservice to that team.
Nice moment for Ali though on SmackDown.
Yeah.
You guys see that video where he went backstage? Yeah. Party and the Usos and New Day giving him props. That was a nice moment. I like that.
Yeah.
And I think I was texting Matt at the time. I'm like, is anyone watching SmackDown? I was like, Matt, dude, like, did I miss something? Like, was there like a Twitter war between these guys? Like, why is this match? I mean, I'm glad it's happening. Maybe Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, that was halfway through the week. They started putting out on social media, but then. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm down with it. Just, I have no objections.
Just opening the door for the cruiserweights to kind of get on the main shows, too. Yeah. I like that a lot. All right, guys, let's go for the big one here. Ambrose versus Rollins. We could talk about this all day, I'm sure. For the Intercontinental title, this is not a TLC match.
It's a ladder match.
Yes.
It is a ladder match. Yep. Even better. Good. Yeah, the whole Ambrose thing. I'm a big Dean Ambrose fan. I don't know if either of you guys watched that Chronicle on the WWE Network with Dean Ambrose. It's interesting.
I did not, no.
It's interesting. Like, it starts out, you know, I mean, they basically follow him around through his recovery and getting back to the ring and get his reaction. And he's pretty much like, you know, you keep asking me the same question. He's like, I'm not going to say what you want me to say. If you want me to say something, give me a script. Like, he wasn't about it. He's like, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but you keep asking me the same question. You know, like, he's very real. And, like, I feel like I always say this. He's the guy that's going to go off the script a little bit. I always envisioned him as a Stone Cold. Just never really happened that way. Becky kind of took that role, and she's killing it.
Yeah.
Crushing it. So he's always been interesting to me. I hate... Dean Ambrose is not a germaphobe.
Him getting the shots
and stuff, and then the gas mask. Like, I understand the theatrics, and I understand, like, the heel maneuvers, but that's not Dean Ambrose. He is not a germaphobe. That's the last thing he's right. He's slept on floors with cockroaches. Like, he's more like, I don't know. It's just not Dean Ambrose. It's not working for me. I have no problem with him being the heel, but, like, you know, his issue is with the fans, and, you know, I think his issue should be more like the Shield and Seth personally.
Yeah, I like him having what the hell is it? He's got like the stick up his butt from being like the third guy in the Shield for so long. Like, obviously Rollins and Reigns were the bigger stars. Like, I like him having that. Like,
that makes sense. Yeah,
the jealousy angle always works.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. And then obviously that huge heel turn on, like, why on this night?
That
and
was
all that.
Great. Yeah.
What a genuine moment on that show. I mean, just when the Shield came out and just fall into his arms, and, you know, Rollins just bawling. It was just like, what a moment. Like, obviously we hope Reigns gets better. I would love, you know, if he comes back in the Rumble and he wins the Rumble, good. I have no problem with it this time.
That'd be
magic. But anyway, that heel turn, they made the most of it. And then now they're being silly, and I don't love it. Seth Rollins constantly putting on just almost five-star matches. That TLC, he's carried the show on Raw. He carried the show. More than once. They made Corbin the scapegoat. He was the voice of the fans. I was cool with it. They addressed it head on. I liked it. And Rollins is like, okay, and I'll do a TLC match. And I'm doing a ladder match on Sunday. And he did everything. He went through tables. He did the suicide dives. He carried the show. I mean, he laid it all on the line. So this is a tough one. What do you guys think about, I guess, Dean Ambrose right now? Not digging that jacket. The Bane jacket?
Yeah. When he wore the mask, too, I was like, come on, man. Yeah. You're beating us over the head with this right now.
What do you guys think about all this? And who's going to be the Intercontinental Champion at the end of the night? Go ahead, Chris.
I think I gotta pick a face eventually. So I'm gonna go with Rollins here. I think this is like the rivalry that goes through like the very lull of holidays, like the Tribute to the Troops shows, like the beginning of January. Like this is like where you're gonna see like your gimmicky matches like throughout the time. Like I think a couple of years ago it was like I think it was Ambrose actually with Bray Wyatt. There was a constant like 3 month in this downtime of the year. I think that's what Rollins and Ambrose is going to be. I think it stays with, you know, you need a good guy to be the belt, to have the belt at this time of year. And that's who I pick for that. So I think it's going to be Rollins.
That's interesting. That's actually pretty good. Matt, what do you got?
I'm going with Rollins too. This is, again, just because of timing and how it worked out. This is a grudge match. This doesn't need a title in it. It just happened to be there. So go ahead and use it. Said Seth Rollins is the guy who's kind of carrying the show right now. Throughout the years, Pat Patterson, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho, it seemed like the best worker in the company, if they don't have anything to do, that's their title. That kind of was like Randy Savage. Yeah. It was like an unofficial little tap on the shoulder. That's Seth Rollins right now, to a T. And... Right. He's earning it. But I do like what Chris said. This, it seems like they're just getting started.
Yeah, oh yeah. This isn't going away.
This isn't a blow off angle. A title match with a ladder involved, it's not the blow off.
Yeah, this can't be the end. There's such a long rivalry and a long history with these characters, especially with the looming Reigns return. I'd love to see Reigns finally just come back as a heel now that everyone finally likes him. Because he's going off, obviously has all the support in the world, rightfully so. I'd love to see him come back now and just like take out a huge name, like get like a Jericho or even like The Rock and just have Reigns just beat the crap out of him.
His cousin, right?
Like have him just take down an enormous face and like an AJ Styles even, and then just fully embrace the heel thing that he couldn't for so long. I would love that.
Interesting. You guys are really convincing me otherwise. Like, there's a lot that's happening tonight. I feel like I'm going to make all these like picks and just be way off. I'm just getting that feeling this time around. But I'm going to go Ambrose. I just think they're waiting for him to come back. We were waiting for him to come heel. They wanted to do this feud earlier. They wanted to get the IC title back on Ambrose. He's had it a few times. I just think Ambrose is going to get it. I'm not going to be thrilled with it or thrilled with his character. And maybe this feud, like you guys said, will still continue throughout all that. Seth Rollins did have an interesting interview on some radio station I watched. It was really good. And he was talking about Brock and the lack of the Universal title. And he wasn't like knocking Brock, but he was just saying like, look, he does his own thing, but he, you know, everyone hates, you know, what's going on, but like he's a respected wrestler. He's one of the best in the ring. He knows what he's doing, but he's not there. So I consider myself, like, not to be arrogant, but I consider myself the champion of Raw.
And
I think that's interesting. So more to your guys.
Pretty fair, yeah.
Yeah. And he carries himself as such.
And Miz did the same thing when he had the belt.
True, yeah.
He that was what he said every week in and week out.
But I think I think Seth Rollins has earned that. He's never held the Universal Championship. Few have. He's not. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. He's not held it.
He
I don't think he
did. Finn Balor, I know he lost the inaugural to Finn Balor. Finn got had to relinquish it.
And then went to KO when Seth got screwed by Triple H.
Then Goldberg, Brock,
something like that.
With Goldberg, Brock.
A lot of Brock in there.
Brock. Reigns. And then back to Brock.
I don't think Rollins is that. Yeah, I'm fairly certain he's never carried it. Yeah. I think it's time. He earned that title. And let's make that title. How long have we said this? Let's make that title relevant. You know, it's out of sight. It's out of mind. Reigns had it. It was relevant. But then they started doing the Shield thing. And then it's like, let's make this title relevant, please. I think Rollins is a strong case for a winner of a Royal Rumble. That would be just look good on his already amazing resume. So I'm just going to go. Title's going to Dean, but big things for Rollins to come.
Yeah, obviously, these guys are top workhorses, like you said. I don't think any one of them is going into obscurity anytime soon. Like the Intercontinental Championship is almost like the consolation prize for this match. Because you know whoever loses, the rivalry is going to continue, and they're going to go on to a bigger thing in the like the main pay-per-view season.
Yeah, totally, man. I know we're talking a lot of Rumble already. Right?
So it's we're looking ahead on the schedule. It's bad. You can't do that.
I know. That's the thing. Yeah,
you look too far out, and then Vince will pull the rug right out from under.
That's exactly. I feel like that's what I'm doing, too. You're absolutely right. Let's go into some tag team action here. Of course, we have We Are Dabar versus The New Day versus The Usos for the SmackDown Championship. Tag team championships. Is there any stipulation? I don't think so. I think it's just a straight up.
I think just the triple threat of it.
Yeah. Just a triple threat
should be a great match. I mean, as we always say, the real winner, the fans. But I'm gonna throw it to Chris because I don't know where to go yet on this.
You're right. It's just a triple threat match. I was just looking really quick.
Yeah.
I don't damn know. So the bar is current champions,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I gotta just keep it with the bar, just for a consistent. These tag titles in both divisions have just been an incredible disservice. They're just being, you know, it's hot potato almost like with the tag titles, and it's basically gonna lose a lot of credibility to me personally. I know we grew up probably around like the same time that we're kind of spoiled with, like the Edge and Christians, the Hardys, the Dudley, the TLC, the Triangle matches. So you're so spoiled with what you're used to, and like you see this Hall of Fame tag team division every year. And you have like this keep away with the tag titles, so I think like establish some credibility, get some heels with them, and keep it on the bar.
It's not bad, Matt. What do you got?
I was leaning towards the bar, and then I started thinking we're seeing the same three teams, just again playing hot potato between, you know, the Usos and New Day feuding, which was a great feud, and then the bar comes in and they're just there to be the foil to the other two teams. Anybody seen Sanity in a while?
That's where I was going.
If Sanity's going to come in as heels, as monsters, would that be better against the bar? Would that be better against, say, the New Day, which is a three-man stable? And
I like that.
So I
where the hell have they been?
We might be seeing your six-time
world
tag team champions.
And again, something good to have around the feel-good holiday shows. Oh, yeah. You know, again, tribute to the troops comes to mind. I could see that.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I'm just gonna go the other way. I'm gonna go Usos.
Nice. I like the parody.
Boom.
Parody we have here.
I'm gonna go Usos because kind of to your point, I think we need to get Sanity going here, and it needs to be against like a face team. You know, I would consider the Usos face again at this point.
Certainly.
Yeah.
And we brought Nikki Cross in. Love Nikki Cross. We brought her in to fight Becky, and that was awesome. A great debut. Never seen her. I think she's still kind of touring with NXT or whatever. Coming to Tom's River right here.
Really?
So, I think so. I believe so.
Nice.
So that'll be awesome.
Yeah. Are there any tags? Like you made me think with Sanity, like a wild card. Are there any tag teams in NXT that are about at their boiling point time to come up? And don't you dare say Undisputed. I want them at NXT forever.
Yeah, no, they should stay there.
I don't want them to ever leave. They're just booked so perfectly there. I was like, I don't want you to ever leave. But I can't think of any really other tag teams on that roster that are established enough to come up yet. There's
Street Profits.
There's the Mighty Street. Yeah, where the hell have they been?
They've been in NXT for a long
Street
time.
Street Profits, Heavy Machinery.
Mighty.
War Raiders, I'm a big fan of, but they just got there. I mean, you know.
Still yes, it's really not.
I'm surprised they haven't pulled up Heavy Machinery because Dosovic is a hoot.
Chris Farley. Yeah.
I love how he has a crush on Mandy Rose, by the way. Which, by the way, I mean, how could you? He is human.
And at the same time, some of these NXT call ups just kind of fizzle out.
Did you see Tyler Breeze? Was it last night?
I just watched it this morning.
I was like, where the hell did that come from?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Oh, man. We could talk about NXT all day, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress. I would love to see Sanity with Nikki Cross heavily involved, and also doing her own thing. She can carry her own. And at the same time, I know I'm just like a wish list here, but I would love to see her get that NXT. All right, moving on. Let's go to Finn Balor. I don't think it's going to be a demon Finn Balor versus Drew McIntyre, who did take his first loss, I think, to Finn Balor in terms of being on.
To Dolph Ziggler.
Because of Finn Balor. Finn Balor was running that whole show, running all over the place. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he got Leo Rush attacked by the guitar later that night. Mm-hmm. He was all over.
But yeah, what do you guys think about this? Is McIntyre going to have the big win, or is Finn starting to get his momentum finally? This guy just never, I mean, he got his moment, obviously he got injured, but we're waiting for Finn to get his moment. What do you guys think, Matt?
I don't think there's any question. He doesn't have, you know, the rocket to his back that Becky does right now, but they're picking up with what they wanted to do with Drew McIntyre. Was it 5-6 years ago when his star lost some of its shine?
Yeah.
It's like, okay,
picked.
This was our guy, and you said no because we picked him. And okay, now we're letting you think that you're picking him, and he's got star written all over him.
Yeah,
they're obviously moving him up for that reason. They broke him away from Braun, they broke him away from Dolph. He's out there on his own. He's the badass, and the badass is the villain. He's wearing the black hat, and he's going to wear the black hat against the big white hat.
Yeah. I completely agree. I don't see how you could have him lose this. He's got the look of the heel. He's got the attitude, the moveset, everything. He's the full package right now. I'm shame on myself for not saying, I said we have a lack of good heels on Raw earlier. I completely forgot about this guy. I don't know how. I think you got to keep this going. This momentum's been great. He's clearly a main eventer. He's got to get the win. And again, you don't lose any credibility with Balor because he's such a fan favorite.
Yeah. It's like guys like Bray Wyatt who could just lose and lose and lose and still be big time.
Yeah, the Zigglers are there. They're the lovable loser. Like, again, not to harp on NXT, but the Johnny Gargano's, same thing. He's a lovable loser, even if he's a heel right now. You can lose and lose and lose, and you'll still be loved.
Match of the year, him versus Alistair.
Oh yeah,
love that match.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to start doing an NXT show. Yeah.
I'm all for that.
Yeah, man,
do the takeover. Yeah,
yeah, that's our. Oh man,
that's those Phoenix, right? Phoenix
is the next. Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, there's so much going on. I'm gonna go McIntyre as well.
Yeah.
For all the reasons you guys said, just keep that momentum going. And to your point, we need that big time heel.
Yeah,
on Raw. So very interesting.
That was a good point you made with the demon. I don't think there's any reason for it to come out, but there hasn't been a sighting with the demon since when it was supposed to be. Was it supposed to be Bray Wyatt, and then someone got injured, like something? Like,
yeah, when Bray and Roman got the mumps.
Yeah, and then he fought Styles. Finn fought Styles
as the demon. Yeah,
and he beat.
It was like almost like, oh damn, we advertised a demon and we have to bring him out.
And he was doing the pumpkin face demon for the promos.
Yes,
because it was right around Halloween.
Yeah, I like how he changes it a lot. Like he had the top hat once, like the voodoo.
Oh yeah,
I liked it a lot.
And he beat Styles, a big win for him on that. What was that, last year's Survivor Series? Something like
that. Yeah, geez, that might have been because it was a crossover from brand to brand.
I don't know. Yeah, I forget.
But no, that was that was the whole thing. They made the joke. Oh, Survivor Series is the only place where they both, unless somebody gets the mumps and then they cross.
Yes, out. Yeah.
It was TLC. I don't know.
It was something.
Yeah, it was something. But yeah, you're right, man. But that was an awesome match. Let's go. Have we come this far? I believe that we are
left, right?
Yeah, that's what I got. I love that we all have notebooks and we all have this is serious.
I was ready for this.
This is serious. You guys are crushing it as always.
That's fanboy.
I'm a broadcast journalist, Monsoon.
Yeah. That's right.
Going bananas.
We have Nia Jax versus Rowdy Ronda Rousey for the Raw Women's Championship. I'm gonna throw it over to Matt. What do you think about this one? The UFC fan.
It's funny when I told my father-in-law what I was going to be doing today. He's a big UFC fan and a huge Ronda fan.
No way.
So he's like, is Ronda going to be there? I said, no, she's not going to be there. Like, are you going to talk about her? Like, yeah, we're going to talk about her. He says, okay.
And, that's awesome.
I accept.
Yes. This is, I don't feel that the build was as good as it could have been, mostly because they they brought them together too many times without them swinging. If you hate somebody, if this is a grudge match, if you're saying, I'm going to knock you out like I knocked out Becky, she's within arm's reach.
Yeah. Go for it.
There's your shot. And yeah, come on, it's not time for Ronda to lose yet.
Yeah.
And for everybody who was kind of saying, oh, Nia's kind of getting, she's getting, rewarded for everything happened. She's getting fed to Ronda.
Oh, yeah.
She's getting fed to Ronda so that whoever ends up really being with her, that's that.
You're going Ronda?
I'm going with Ronda.
I'm just going to agree with you right off the bat, Matt. Ronda's going to carry for a little while. Maybe in the Mania, maybe versus Bay. I know. I'm shooting to the future here way too much tonight. Chris, what do you got on this one?
Yeah, I don't know how you can go against Rousey right now. I just, obviously the build's going something more big with WrestleMania around the corner. Originally, the plan was her with Charlotte. Now it's looking like Lynch might steal that spotlight because Charlotte kind of inadvertently stole that spotlight at Survivor Series. I do think they give Nia Jax a lot more offense than anticipated. Like, not like the Alexa Bliss squash that she had, that Rousey had. I think Nia Jax seems to have a chance, but then ultimately, you know, I think everybody's expecting this outcome. So that's why I got to go with Rousey here.
They had this match before, too. This has been...
Yeah, I think it was one of her first big tests. Yeah.
That's when Alexa Bliss cashed in later that night.
Yes,
correct?
Yes. I know.
She cashed in the same night as the Money in the Bank, and then that's when she stole the title. Yeah.
Crazy, man. But yeah, I think we can all just go Ronda, and I think... That Nia Tamina thing. I mean, how long are we waiting on these women's tag titles? Only thing they officially said on Raw, there was like those Q&As that are killing me with those Planet fans and all and stuff. But like they kind of danced. It was Sasha and Bayley.
Yeah.
And they kind of danced. Oh, well, if there was a tag, team championship, I would love some sort of official, Stephanie McMahon comes out and presents, if Triple H comes out and presents. On the road to WrestleMania, we're going to have a tag team tournament and at WrestleMania. So this is why, we had that big Bayley kind of heel turn that just fizzled out when the fans went nuts and then nothing came of it. You have Graves constantly antagonizing the relationship.
Oh, yeah. She's just going to turn on you again, Bayley.
Sasha, who's great as a heel and a face. Of course. For sure. But I think Tamina and Nia are going to kind of continue if we are going to do this tag team thing. We'll have the Riot Squad. We'll have Tamina, Nia, Bayley, Sasha, maybe Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, the Iconics. So I know.
And Mandy and Sonya have really been picking it up lately over the past few weeks.
Yeah.
Huge fan of Sonya Deville.
I am too.
From Tough Enough days. I was like, tough Daria, man. She's the best.
She was serious about it, too.
I loved her. Like that. What a tragedy with how that popularity contest ended up going with who won that.
Yeah.
I mean, Mandy Rose won it, but for the men, it was just like a disaster how that panned out.
Pair up and square up.
Yeah.
That's right.
I don't know. The women tag thing, I'm all for, but I feel like they don't even handle the men tag thing right now. Get some traction here before you keep going.
I was questioning the depth there, and then you guys brought it up. Like,
Yeah, like I slept on the Iconics and a couple other people. Like Naomi and Asuka were kind of a team.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, dude.
There's a couple,
And that kind of right now isn't going on. Awesome. Naomi also a huge favorite. But yeah, that'll be exciting. So hopefully they make some sort of announcement for the tag titles. But all Ronda Rousey all around, I think she's going to be holding on to that title. I don't think she's going to be in the Rumble. So I expect her to be holding the title when Rumble comes around. I believe we are on to the last match. Of course, AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan. I want to know also what you guys think about this Daniel Bryan, not so much heel turn, but heel character.
The new Daniel Bryan.
Where he comes out without the side plates and he took the old side plates off and it's interesting. It's interesting.
I didn't even notice that, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm reviewing that show.
When he won the title, he came out like the first one or two times with the yes side plates. The second time, the side plates were ripped off and they were just holes. And then, was it last night or 2 nights ago, he came out and they just say Daniel Bryan.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. I look at all the belt stuff.
Easter egg. Yeah. I like that.
But anyway, I think, long story short, I think AJ's, it's an interesting character for Daniel Bryan. I think AJ Styles is trying to kind of wind down a little bit. He's really just been putting in all the work, making all the appearances, carrying the title, being a great true champion in and out of the ring. I think he's okay with somebody having it right now, and I think he wants to slow down just a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Daniel Bryan. But what do you guys think about first the Daniel Bryan heel character and who's walking out with the championship? We'll throw it over to Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I love the turn. I feel like it's long overdue at this point. You could tell he's been dying to do this heel role for so long. And he was, again, that's where he really made his bread and butter and where he got recognized in the first place. He got fired for it once, if everyone remembers.
Yes, yeah.
When the,
Nexus.
At Nexus, yeah. I always confuse them with the core. So
yeah,
it was kind of the same thing.
That's right. I forgot about the core.
That's what that's kind of when
split.
He got
split. Yeah.
It's like he really got recognized there. So I was really happy that he got to do it again. I was never like it's overly Daniel Bryan guy like everyone else was when the Yes Movement first broke out. But like, how could you not get involved in it? It was so contagious. But I think he's organically doing it now. I think he's going to probably keep the title. You got to establish the credibility with this turn here and have him keep the title. And I really like the point you made with like kind of letting AJ Styles, he went on a historical run. So he like at, in terms of the length of his run, I think it's probably time that he could just dial it back a little, prepare for the later seasons.
Oh, the big WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Too, I think. Right. I'm just saying Phenom versus the Phenomenal One, the Undertaker.
Yeah.
Mean, how
yeah.
good.
I can see them just keeping this match all the way until WrestleMania. I mean, it's a good, it's a great match. Like this being a TLC is like shocking in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
They're throwing it away here.
Did you get Mania tickets?
No, I want them so.
Yo, make it happen, man. We'll see you
did
there.
Did you guys get tickets?
We'll be there. We'll be podcasting. We're doing some
really
shout out. We're going to mark out at the Meadowlands WrestleMania morning. Jim Ross is going to be there. The FBI Nunzio, Val Venus.
Val Venus.
Yeah, a bunch of guys from back in the day are going to be there. So we're going to have some interviews in the morning, and then we're going to
barbecue.
I was going to say, and then we're going to tailgate. We're going to hashtag Meatgate. We're going to be cooking. I heard Matt might be making some of that famous brisket. So
maybe a pernil. You don't know.
Yeah, I made a brisket.
Oh yeah, I got to talk to you about brisket in a little bit. Mike was telling me some of your secrets.
It is in our backyard. I feel like I'd be remiss to not go.
You got to go. And you know what? We did. I don't know if you got to go last time it was here at MetLife.
No.
Half the fun really is the tailgating because there's legit gold dust.
There's a whole cosplay.
I can definitely see that.
It's great.
We'll be podcasting out there talking to the fans as well. There was like a Hulk Hogan and Macho Man
who
match.
Who legitimately dropped the leg on like
the
hard parking lot on another grown man.
The
it
huge
was
crowd,
like the Bills
but,
Mafia.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of was. Yeah. It was crazy, but I digress anyway.
I've got to like the live, like the Road to WrestleMania, like house shows, and like my wife's like, oh, you're going to wear like a Macho Man shirt. I'm like, trust me, I'm not going to be in the top 30 most embarrassing people.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Not even close. Trust me. And sure enough, I'm not.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. Most of us, we're very lucky. Matt, what do you think about this Daniel Bryan heel turn, and who do you think is walking out the WWE champion?
I think, first off, it's great. In the past, when he was, when he came back from getting fired, and he was trying to think of the UFC fighter he was emulating with the yes, yes, yes thing, I was like, Gilbert Melendez.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's how I was born, yeah.
That's how I was born. Oh, really? That had happened, so he started doing it. And then when he went, everybody caught on to it, then to turn heel, he was doing the no, no, no. It was always had like this kind of comedic element to it.
Mm-hmm.
And now he is a true heel. Like he hadn't been since back in Ring of Honor.
Yes.
Yeah. When he was shaving his head and growing the beard and wearing the cape and condescending to everybody, less environmental in his message, but that's...
It works for him.
It's done, and a testament to how good he is, he went from being the most popular, most beloved person / character in that company that you can name for the past 20 years, probably, if not longer, to getting booed out of the building in the span of 2 to 3 weeks.
I never thought I'd see the day where
two to three weeks.
They really boo him.
He grabbed everybody's nose and turned them 180.
Yeah, I never thought I'd see him being booed. Like, I thought he was like a Roman Reigns. Like you could never turn how the crowd feels about him, but they did it. I couldn't believe it.
He had that great line. fight for your dreams and your dreams will fight for you.
Yeah.
And it just, there's a great moment. Like, and then him coming back and all that. So I was just like, what a great line. Is that from something or was that him?
It's WWE probably writers. From somewhere.
It was great.
I think motivational speaker Tony Robbins, maybe. I don't know. Something.
It's great.
I think he said like Brie Bella was the one that told it to him. But I don't, again, if she got that from herself or someone else, I don't know.
That was just a great line. But anyway, yeah, so it kind of makes sense for the heel turn because what do we want? Like another underdog historic run? Like we've seen that. We'll do it. Yeah, I guess kind of that's what we wanted, but I think this is fresh.
I love the chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan. Yeah.
For sure. Go ahead, Matt. Who do you think?
It's harder for the smaller guy to be the dangerous heel.
Yeah.
But he's always worked that sort of like submission moves. Aaron, when he does go heel, just, you know, the perfect lineup, you know, the crotch kicks or what have you, whatever it needs. It's a perfect timing. Your heart sinks into your stomach every time you see it because you're like, oh, we loved you. What? Yeah. And that's why I don't know where this thing with Shane McMahon and The Miz is going.
True, yeah.
But if that doesn't go all the way to WrestleMania, maybe Miz and Daniel one more time with the roles reversed.
Ah.
Yeah.
I said this before that this could have happened earlier where Daniel has to break his code to beat Miz at his own game, or that Miz had to break his code to pull out all the stops and bust out a moonsault or something to beat Daniel.
That'd be sweet.
I could see, like, yeah, the Miz, I guess, kind of what happened. Like, this pay-per-view, he's kind of not there.
Like you said, AJ can take a break.
I was going to say, none of us really had too much to say about AJ Styles. For once, we always talk about AJ Styles. I mean,
it's such a huge phenomenal story with Brian being, you know, such a twist. Like, on the within 24 hours, you had the shocking Reigns news, then the Ambrose turn, and then the next day, you're like, all right, this is going to be like a cigarette for what last night was. And then Daniel Bryan goes with the low blow, and it just completely flips everyone on their head.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. But you know what? I mean, for that little run, they kept us on our toes. It was very interesting. For a while, it was kind of like, you get a heel turn, and you get a heel turn, you know? But it's interesting. You know, Charlotte's kind of in between right now. It's interesting. Yeah. You guys are making me think, you know, when you said Naomi, Asuka, going back to that, now I'm starting to think to change my answer to Charlotte so Asuka and Naomi can go for the tag title. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. We're really thinking ahead on this one. But Daniel Bryan all around?
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. D-Bro all around. All right, guys. I think that wraps it up.
I think we got our scorecards now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. For bragging rights, I guess. That's all I can offer you guys. But really, really good job. Next time we're doing our wrestling show, we'll be doing our Royal Rumble predictions, I believe, next month. And we're going to be doing a crossover with the Smart to Death podcast from Texas. So that's really good. I'm looking forward to having those guys go up against us. So it'll be Team Bop Culture Podcast back in action. Thank you, Podcast Dummies, of course, having us.
Yeah,
appreciate
absolutely.
It. Make sure you guys like them on Twitch, follow them. You know, we appreciate all the support. Make sure you leave a review for the Bob Culture Podcast on iTunes, because if you search Bob Culture Podcast, I'm like the sixth thing that comes up, which is really weird. but those reviews really, really help. So that would be awesome. We super appreciate it. And guys, I guess we'll be watching TLC on the network for only $9.99 every month. You know the drill. All right, guys. Guys, thanks for a few minutes. Thanks for coming on. We are out. Peace. Hey, guys. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bob Culture Podcast. Don't forget to support the show on patreon.com/Bob Culture Podcast for some great incentives. I'd like to give a shout out to my patrons, Jay Crow, Shannon Cruz, and of course, Mike and Michelle Vermillion from Sledgepad Innovations. Sledgepad is the bass drum dampening system used by national acts like Pink, Goo Goo Dolls, Cher, Collective Soul, and a whole bunch more. Check them out at sledgepad.com. And of course, if you're a fan of the show, please subscribe on YouTube, check us out at podbean.com, and leave me a review at iTunes.